Now, the 4th of July tends to be a pretty meat-centric holiday featuring burgers, brats, hot dogs, and more. But our next guest has some ideas for meat-free recipes to try out this 4th of July holiday weekend.
And you can join the Food Friday conversation right now at 800-642-1234. If you're vegan or vegetarian, or you just take a break from meat sometimes, we want to hear from you. What are your favorite meat-free recipes? Do you have something you like to put on the grill that is not meat? Do you have a veggie option on the menu for this very weekend? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Elizabeth Shaw is the creator of Healthy Midwestern Girl, a vegan cooking blog, and she joins us from Madison. Elizabeth, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the holiday weekend is upon us, and as we mentioned, it typically is a pretty meat-heavy holiday, lots of burgers, lots of brats. Do you have any tips for people who maybe are a little new to vegetarian or vegan cooking, people who might be more interested in cooking some meat-free meals, but, you know, just don't know where to start?
Yeah, I mean, there are things you can buy at the store, like pre-made burgers and Beyond Meat burgers, Impossible burgers, things like that. But I think, you know, if you like to get a little bit more creative, like I do, you can make your own alternative. And so I like to throw on some eggplant onto the grill. It grills up really nicely, or do a portobello mushroom burger, for example.
Well, let's stick with burgers. You just mentioned portobello mushroom. Some folks might be feeling a little bit more adventurous, might be like you, want to make their own. You know, can you talk a little bit about your burger recipes?
Sure. I have a traditional kind of portobello mushroom burger, a little twist that I have. I'm vegan, not vegetarian, so we don't eat any cheese. So I make a kind of a Wisconsin cheddar cheese sauce. And it's made out of pureed cashews, for example. So it's a nice substitute for the dairy, and it's got some really nice, rich flavors going on with the mushroom and the cheese. And just marinate it, grill it up, and serve it on a bun.
So can you take a little bit of a deep dive into that Wisconsin, I'm going to say cheddar in quotes, because it is dairy-free. You mentioned that it's made with cashews, but what else is in there that people might be able to get at the grocery store if they're interested in making it?
There's some Dijon mustard in there. There's some, you know, you use a plant milk or a broth for the base to make it creamy. You're just going to blend it up in a blender, basically. Cashews, when you soak them and put them in a high-speed blender, they get really soft and creamy, and then you're just adding your flavors to that. There's some nutritional yeast in there, which I find brings a really good kind of umami taste, which is a nice substitute for cheese. It's an ingredient that people, if they're not vegan or vegetarian, they might not be that familiar with, but I encourage people to give it a try. It's got a really great flavor.
And because it might not be that familiar to people, nutritional yeast kind of looks like powder. It's kind of gold colored. And where can people typically find that?
It does. You know, I have never had a problem finding it in any grocery store. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out where it is in the grocery store, but you can find it at most grocery stores and just ask if you can't find it.
All right. So we're talking about the portobello burger, which I'm going to guess is the cap of just the portobello itself, and you marinate it, like you said. But if people might want like a bean burger or a veggie burger, how do you go about getting the right consistency? Because if you're more used to cooking meat, you just kind of squish it together and throw it on the grill. But veggies might present some other challenges or opportunities, maybe.
So true. I don't personally have a recipe like that on my site, but I know a lot of people who do. And I think the issue is it's that combination, just like if you're making meatloaf, I think it's that combination of the meat and the either oats or bread or whatever is kind of binding it together. And I've gone through a lot of experiments, you know, the deal is trying to get it to not fall apart. So, and if you're using something, say, like mushrooms in the burger, they're going to give off a lot of water and moisture. And so you might need more of a binder just to hold it together. I think that's the key. Oats make a nice binder.
We are talking to Elizabeth Shaw. She is the creator of Healthy Midwestern Girl. That is a vegan cooking blog. She's with us on this week's edition of Food Friday, and she's talking about vegan and vegetarian options that you can try out for this holiday weekend. let's take a look at some of the recipes that you shared. We have a vegan potato salad. Can you talk a little bit about how you developed this recipe to make it vegan?
I sure can. This recipe is near and dear to my heart. It was my grandmother's recipe. It's been in our family for many years, and there was never an event that we had where we didn't have this potato salad. So when my husband and I became vegan, this was one of the dishes I was really missing. So we set out to veganize it, if that's a word. one of the things, so her recipe was a hybrid. It was a mix between a German potato salad that has, you know, a little bacon and vinegar, and then she also used lots of eggs and mayo. So I needed to go about recreating all those flavors. So I used, she had bacon in the recipe, so I used smoked paprika to stand in for the smokiness of the bacon, a little bit of nutritional yeast for the Enkala Namak, which is a Indian black salt. It's actually pink, but that gives an eggy flavor. I put a little turmeric in it just to give that yellow color because, you know, nobody wants to eat gray potato salad. And by just kind of mimicking those flavors, I've served it at potlucks and people have no idea that it's vegan.
Right now, we are picking up our Food Friday conversation with Elizabeth Shaw. She is the creator of the vegan blog, Healthy Midwestern Girl, and she is with us to talk about meat-free recipes for the holiday.
And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a go-to dish when you don't want meat in a meal? Whether you're a vegetarian, a vegan, or not, what is your favorite meat-free thing, especially maybe for a holiday, a celebration kind of thing? Maybe even to throw on the grill. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
And Elizabeth, before we lost you very briefly, you were giving me some advice as a non-mayo fan about what I can add to a potato salad. Yes, I still love that advice so I can go into this holiday weekend and not feel so goofy with all of my family. What do you think?
So this weekend we're invited to an event and I'm going to be bringing a warm potato salad. I'm experimenting with this recipe. I haven't made it before, but I'm going to grill some red potatoes. I'm going to roast up some broccolini and some cherry tomatoes, toss that all together, and put a chimichurri sauce on it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be my warm. I mean, it's not your traditional potato salad, but I'm going to serve that as a side for them. So we'll see how that goes. I'll let you know.
Yeah, that feels like the dish that I would steal from the picnic table and you'd find me eating it alone behind a, I don't know, a tree or something. So let's take another look at one of the recipes that you shared with us. We have sweet and spicy grilled eggplant. Eggplant, of course, is going to be in season right now. Tell us about this recipe.
Okay, well, I love this recipe because it's so simple to make. If I'm feeling really lazy, I just put barbecue sauce on eggplant and grill it. So you can do it that easily. But the recipe, I include some jalapeno, put a little ginger in there, some fresh thyme, and it just kind of, you know, brightens up and gives some extra flavor. And it's just very easy to do. It's really no more difficult than grilling a piece of meat on the grill.
So I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Pat in Three Lakes with a question. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I have a question. I like hamburgers, but I mostly have venison burgers because they're really healthy and they're low in sodium. They're delicious. But I used to have, when I was real young, we used to have veggie burgers occasionally, and they didn't taste too bad. But the ones I see today, they're so laced with sodium that, you know, you have to have a call into the emergency room right after you eat one so you can go get your sodium pumped out. Is there any veggie burgers that aren't so laced in sodium?
Elizabeth, what do you have to say to Pat?
Well, you know, my website focuses on whole food, plant-based whole food. So I tend to avoid a lot of processed food. So even the pre-made, like a Beyond Meat burger, I might eat one of those once in a while. But I tend to stick to something like the portobello burger, the eggplant. I tend to make my own. So I don't have a lot of good advice on how to lower the sodium other than to make, you know, find a good recipe that you like, make your own, and then you can control for that.
Nice. And I'm actually going to go to another caller right now that has another question about burgers. We have Jonah in Menominee. Hi, Jonah.
Hi there. How's it going?
Going well. What do you want to talk about?
So I just want to know that I'm baffled that there are not more mainstream fast food places that offer a mushroom burger. Shake Shack has an excellent one that I tried a couple years ago. And it's been a couple of years since I've been able to have another mushroom burger from a fast food place. So I wish a McDonald's or both. I'm sorry, my road directions must be coming through the phone too. Yeah, I just wish more restaurants offered mushroom burgers.
Jonah, thank you for that call. And so maybe to just take a step out for a second, you've been a vegan for a while. It seems like some restaurants are kind of picking up that more people are vegan or want to try vegan or be vegetarian or something like that. Still not super widespread, but in the restaurant world, do you agree with Jonah here?
Oh, absolutely. I think fast food restaurants do seem to be a little bit ahead of the curve. Just because there are a lot of young people who are driving veganism because of, you know, concerns for the planet, ethical concerns about eating meat. So I think they're actually a little bit ahead of the curve, but I couldn't agree more. It's very difficult. I think it's not difficult to eat vegan when you're at home, but when you're, you know, doing social events like 4th of July or when you're at a restaurant, it can be a little bit more challenging. But, yeah, hopefully there'll be better options and more options in the future.
I want to go back to our callers. We have Kelly in Jefferson. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I was just wondering if you have any food recommendations for a butter substitute, especially for baking.
Thank you so much for that call, Kelly. What do you think? Any good vegan butters out there?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, there are, again, vegan butters that you can buy at the grocery store. They tend to be made with a lot of oil. So if that's a concern for you, there are some recipes I've seen people use use nut butters instead, which is maybe better for a sweet. It's probably going to not work for your garlic bread, but maybe nut butters. Or I actually saw a recipe. It's another food site called Brand New Vegan, and he makes it out of corn. So like a sweet corn kind of mashed up as a butter substitute. But butter is one of those trickier, products to replicate for sure.
So I want to look at recipes really fast, but first a big thank you to Kelly for calling in with that question. We have a recipe for roast vegetable salad with farro. Can you talk about that recipe and explain for some of those out there that don't know what farro is?
Yeah, farro is just an ancient grain. It's not gluten-free, if that's a concern for people, but you can easily substitute orzo. I used to make this recipe. I've been making this recipe for 30 years in one iteration or another, so it's really great with orzo. You can use brown rice as well. But it's a really nice, hearty recipe that you can take to. It's great for a potluck or like the 4th of July because it's a side dish, but it's very hearty. So it's got lots of grilled or roasted vegetables in it. When I was vegetarian, I used to put feta cheese in it, but you don't need to use that. It's got some pine nuts in it, which are just amazing and wonderful. I think no matter what kind of diet you eat, and again, just very satisfying, and I've never met anyone who didn't like it.
And I have a quick question. So many people that might be going out and about, maybe going to a gathering this weekend, it's hot in many places. Can people make things the night before? How well do maybe the potato salad, how long do they keep before you maybe go to the gathering?
I definitely, you can do, I think, any of these that like the eggplant grilled, you can easily do the marinade or the sauce before. The potato salad is, I think it's better the next day, actually. One of the nice things about this vegan potato salad, you don't have to worry about food poisoning from, an egg product or mayo product that sat out too long because it's just cashews. So it's actually a little bit more stable in the heat. So that's a benefit aside from, it being vegan. So I think most of these recipes, you can make them in advance.
Now, it's not the 4th of July if there isn't a dessert. You've brought us a recipe for vegan key lime pie mini tarts. That sounds awesome. Yes. Can you talk about, this dish, how you make it and all that?
Absolutely. I love this recipe because it's one of those recipes when you have people who are really skeptical about vegan food, it's just really fun to serve to them because it's this nice little cupcake size tart, and it's green, and you bite into it, and it's kind of this frozen dessert, so it has this rich, creamy texture, and it's lime, and then you tell them it's made out of avocados, and they can't believe it. So I think it's just a testament to just how, you know, fun and creative vegan cooking can be, and I'm not much of a dessert person, but even I can make this. So if I can make it, I think anyone out there can make it.
Well, that brings us back to, you know, these substitutions, and you've got avocado, which I actually wasn't expecting when I first read the recipe that was going to be the thing that you did the substitution with. I feel like in the past, I've seen like silken tofu and things like that. Do you see kind of different waves of how people are using substitutions, maybe moving away from a tofu or something into maybe more plant-based cooking?
Yeah, I mean, I do. In a lot of my recipes, I'll offer tofu as an alternative to the nuts or avocado or something because it's a lower fat option. So there are people who are eating these plant-based diets because they're basically on doctor's orders. There's a lot of evidence that it can help reverse heart disease and help with a lot of other, illnesses. So people will be told that they need to change their way of eating. So tofu is a nice low-calorie alternative for things like mayo or this dessert. But it's a little tricky to disguise the flavor. So, you know, if I have my druthers, I usually tend to go for the cashews or the avocado, some of the richer, you know, ingredients in there if you really want to make something that you just can't tell is vegan.
And really quickly, I want to hear more about these no-bake carrot cake bites. These sound really great, especially in the summer when it's hot. Can you talk about what's in it, what makes it vegan, and how people can put it together?
Yeah, they're basically made really simply in a food processor. There's dates, oats, you know, carrots, shredded carrots. So you kind of blend them together in a food processor until they're a fairly firm consistency. You just kind of roll them in a little ball. And I like to roll them in a little bit of coconut sugar or coconut. And that'll just give you a nice, it's almost like a little donut hole, but a lot healthier. And then depending on my mood, I will vary the spices. I took some to a party a couple of months ago and put some cardamom in there, and they were just divine.
That sounds great. We have 30 seconds left. Any parting tips for people who are interested in trying vegan or vegetarian cooking this weekend?
Yeah, well, I think if you're the host and you find out you have vegans coming, don't panic. We have a lot of friends who get really nervous when they don't know what to serve us. So I think, you know, any vegetable that you make as a side dish, you can almost always sort of convert it into a main dish for a vegan. You can ask people to bring their own food. And I think my biggest advice is don't be afraid to just have fun in the kitchen. If you're creative and you'd like to play in the kitchen, there's so many creative things you can do with plants. Just, I say, go for it.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for having me.
Elizabeth Shaw is the creator of Healthy Midwestern Girl, that is a vegan cooking blog. She joined us on this week's Food Friday to talk about vegan and vegetarian dishes that you can serve at your July 4th gathering. And of course, you can find a few of those recipes that we talked about at WPR.org/Food Friday.